Thank you, John. So we'll start with a quite easy subject regarding our supporting materials. There are around 40 slides, so it's a lot to digest. So what I will do is, hopefully you had some time before to look at the slides, but for all members, it's more like a refresher just to see what we provide to the public in terms of supporting materials. And for the new people, it will be like something to understand what we publish around the IFRS taxonomy in terms of supporting the IFRS taxonomy. And we're talking about guides and supporting materials and feedback documents for updates for the IFRS taxonomy. Additionally to that, we managed to get feedback from 10 of you, and we'll present this at the end. Isa will help me to summarize the feedback we receive. There is one slide, a printed copy of the slides on your desk, summarizing the feedback we received for those supporting materials. And so today I would like to discuss three topics, which are supporting materials for the IFRS taxonomy. The main goal of this session is to receive your feedback on whether these supporting materials are still achieving stated objectives. So we'll start with available guides for the IFRS taxonomy, and after we'll go to the two sections. And each section will have some questions, so we'll ask a few questions. We'll try to keep it short because we have around 40 minutes to discuss all of the sections. So we do provide four different guides for that covers different aspects of the IFRS taxonomy. These are two main reasons. The two main reasons discussing these guides with you would like to hear your answers to general questions on the usefulness of each guide and specific questions on specific parts of the guides, and this will follow. Just a reminder, all guides are available on our website under taxonomy page, and there is a tab, general resources tab, where you can find all of the guides in there. The main objective, so we start with preparer guide, and the main objective of introducing preparer's guide back in end of 2018 was to help preparers understand the IFRS content and improve the quality and consistency of the tagging. So and this guide is updated periodically to respond to feedback of new developments. And the last update to that guide happened in December 2019. The second guide is regulator guide. Back in mid-2015, for the first time, we have published regulator guide to help regulators with adoption and ongoing use of the IFRS taxonomy within electronic filing system. And this is the oldest guide, the architecture guide, that was published and is still available over the course of 11 years now. This guide was refined and few parts of this guide was moved to other more relevant supporting materials. So the content of this is quite technology driven. So we describe their architecture, we describe an overview of modeling principles within the IFRS taxonomy. And those will be shown on slides 11 for and particular questions on slide 12. And lastly, the formula guide. So this guide was published back in 2012, and that was to respond to guide our users how to use, especially software vendors, to how to implement automatic validations within their software. And I think this is the most advanced in terms of technology guide. It's not easy, but we try to give examples within the formula guides to explain a bit further what each business validation does additionally to what we have within the IFRS taxonomy. So we'll start with general questions on all guides. Here are first set of questions. First, on usefulness of the guides. Who uses the guides? Do you have any of the guides? And are the guides useful? And the secondly, if the content of these guides is still relevant, what do you think we could improve in the content of that of these guides? Could any part be added, removed, or modified? And lastly, do you have any other comments or suggestions that we could incorporate in the guides? I'll open the floor. If there's no comments, we'll proceed.
I have a comment.
Yes, Luke.
Comment on the preparer's guide. I think it's useful. I don't use it myself, but I think it's useful to say to IFRS filers who are new to tell them, hey, there's a guide out there that starts you at the beginning and kind of gets you going. So it, in my opinion, it is useful for that. And I've told a lot of registrants, you know, to read it. With only a few of them have I said later, what'd you think of it? Not a representative sample, but they've said, oh, you know, it was good. So no negative comments about it. As far as the content, I don't think there's any parts that need to be added or removed or changed that I can think of, because it's relevant. The only comment I'd have is I think a lot of users aren't aware of it. A lot of registrant companies aren't aware of it. So if there's any way that it can be marketed or put out there more, any efforts related to that would be positive and good. I don't know what those efforts would look like, because it's not easy to get to get in front of registrants to get them to do something like that. So,
thank you. Any other comments? Miho?
I'll be happy just to contribute to the regulatory guide. I think it's, first of all, it is used by all who want to extend the taxonomy. So that's pretty much my experience. All the regulators who looked at the IFRS taxonomy in order to extend it and deploy in their systems, they pretty much refer to the guide as to how to do that. Secondly, the guide, as far as I know, is also used as a reference model, as a reference best practice. So for those who want to create regulatory taxonomies but do not necessarily know which architecture to choose and so on, they very much follow the IFRS taxonomy architecture as the best practice in the market. So that's sort of like, even for non-IFRS taxonomies, local GAAP or sustainability reporting do follow the same principles as set forth in the regulatory guide and in the taxonomy architecture of the IFRS 1. And I think that the third part that I've wanted to comment is the software vendors. I think that, as far as I know, it is quite often referred to as the guide how to implement the IFRS taxonomy in the software products. But here, one quick question to you, maybe, Vadek. Are we checking the page ranks or visits to these websites and to these resources? Do we know what the download rates are of these?
On an annual basis, yes.
Okay.
And is it going up?
Not on this session, but we can always provide this. I think, but we need to discuss this within the team before.
Also, I think it's difficult because many of these guides, you would say, like, for the first time a regulator is using the IFRS taxonomy, yes, they're going to read it. But then it's like a one-off. The same for the preparer. Look, the first time they're using it, it's not necessarily a regular reading on a yearly basis, because once you have read it, you can refer to it again, but you have read it really. Yeah.
I just wanted to echo Lou's comment about the preparer's guide. I think it's very helpful and useful. A couple things about it that are helpful, to be specific, is sort of guidance around element selection, discovering, focusing on accounting meaning is really useful. I think that will become useful for users as well. There was a question also somewhere maybe in the slide deck about whether each of the guides should, if there's repetitive content among the guides, whether to keep that. And I think we would say yes, because it's nice to have a standalone for whatever kind of person or what type of entity you are interacting with the taxonomy. It's useful to just know, I've got all I need. I'm a regulator. I'm a software provider. I'm prepared. It doesn't mean you don't look at the other things, but it's nice to have a standalone.
Thank you for that.
Could I just ask a follow-up question then?
Yeah.
In your experience, who uses it? Do you see preparers actually using the preparer's guide? And
a lot of times they're relying on us to have sort of mastered some of these things and kind of include, communicate it and educate. But we're always happy to refer them as well so they get their first-hand view of it, much like Sue said. It's good. It's a very good starting point, I think.
Reading. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Do it.
Yeah, and just from repairs perspective, I can really confirm that. So we actually used it in our journey for the first XBL filing, so it was really helpful. It's more like, we would say, it's a starting point, as it's a basic material. It guides you to the basic things. However, we would say there are maybe some more focus points, like extension management, especially for the first, if you do your first IFRS XBL filing. Another is maybe something to thought about, that you also go through the process. So like, look, actually, what's the process of preparing an XBL filing? So it's very much technical driven, but not so much from a preparer's perspective, that he has to define a project where you start to look on the taxonomy, where you have to involve people of different departments and so on. So this is a bit missing, and last but not least, we would also recommend to be more detailed about the detail tagging, specific challenges of the nodes, and in overall to provide more examples. Yeah, because concrete examples make it much more easier than for the preparer to work with this guide and to follow this.
Thank you, Dirk. Yes, we received feedback, and I can confirm that a lot of feedback was stressing on more example within the supporting materials.
Can I ask a follow-up question, Dirk? Sorry. So when you mentioned, because we deliberately didn't include process, because we thought process is going to be very dependent on the kind of tools people are using to tag the data. And secondly, regarding extension management, what kind of features do you think, what kind of content do you think would be useful to include that could help there? Because, for instance, in the guide, we talked a lot about, look, you can use an IFRS taxonomy element if it reflects accounting, meaning otherwise you have to create an extension. And I'm a little bit struggling about additional things we can say, so it'd be good if you could elaborate on that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I think it's one of these very difficult topic, but I think at the end of the day, you need to categorize your extensions. So, I mean, definitely you have different groups of extension, and as a preparer, you have to manage those extensions. Yeah? And that's something I think most of the preparers, maybe they're surprised because they don't find specific reporting elements. But very often it's more like a semantic topic. It's not really content-driven. That's something we would expect, because especially if you look now on the first SPSEC IFRS filers, you see a lot of extensions. Yeah? So it really seems to be a main issue within the whole process of XBL filing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. As you may know, we've gone through the first publication of the ESEF taxonomy only this year, and an update of the taxonomy used for ESEF filing only 3 weeks ago. So I can give some, from my perspective, I can say that the all the all the documentation available on the website is very useful for regulators, especially on the first time, as Rita was saying, when working with the IFRS taxonomy and the extension. Later on, we expect it will be less useful, but on the other hand, especially the webinars, the slides, and all supporting material made available on the website becomes very useful to see, to highlight the changes and direct attention towards the parts that are new. We think that the content is really good, but sometimes we've noticed it's not very straightforward to identify what has changed between one release and the other. And perhaps an idea could be to insert some control section highlighting where there have been updates and maybe at what date has been the last change in each different section. And another comment I'd like to raise is the fact that the architecture and formula guide at this, right now, they are in the general resources section of the website. Maybe an idea could be to have them in the taxonomy section of the website and kind of have together all the technical material that's useful for a preparer and a regulator as well, all in the same section of the taxonomy. We would also recommend that for the formula guide, perhaps we could provide readers with instructions on how to connect the package with the validations with the annual release of the IFRS taxonomy. And perhaps this is maybe would be nice to have, but I realize it may be challenging. But guidance for regulators on how to adapt the formula link basis to the regulator-specific IFRS extension. This would be very very helpful for us. These are my main comments. Thank you.
Shall we proceed?
Yes, sir, we proceed.
So here are the questions to here are the part related to the architecture guide. We have identified two sections groups within the guide that do not require annual updates, and second section that needs updating on annual basis. So in the first section we'll call fixed content. So these are four items, so relate to description of modeling approaches that we use within the IFRS taxonomy, the structure of the IFRS taxonomy. So we describe a lot in terms of type of link bases we use, so label, reference, link base within the taxonomy, absolute relative paths. So these items on that list, we identified that, okay, we might not need to update them on annual basis. And the content that needs to be updated is related to file structure because resulting of technical changes. Also examples and statistics related to various elements within the taxonomy. Okay, so the question to ITCG members are only two questions. Are the fixed section of the architecture guide useful in achieving the objective? Could any parts be added, removed, or modified? And are the sections updated every year needed? So I will come back to previous slide just to give you those items. I think it's the conference.
It's background music. We have one person online. I don't know if it's Doug or Bin. Are you there, Doug or Bin? We're enjoying your background music.
Yeah,
yeah. No response. No. Okay.
I'm online, but I haven't used my phone.
Oh, right. Hello, who's online, please?
This is William G.
William. Thank you, William. Do you have any comments that you'd like to add on what we've had so far, William?
No, we are using these guys, you know, as part of our advice to clients. our in terms of our experience is that the clients themselves, they sometimes rely on the printers and the advisors to do the work. So, you know, really, this is a very good reference material, but they tend not to use it and kind of leave it to the specialists. So it is a bit unfortunate, but we are actually find it very useful in terms of, our support to our clients. Thank you.
Thanks, William. If we just ask you to mute your microphone when you're not speaking, and John or I will get back to you and call for your engagement as we go. So thanks, William. Is there anyone else online? Anyone else online? No. Okay.
Can we
back to you, John?
Yeah. Can we continue? I don't think
yes,
that's
sure, sure.
too much. You've got quite a bit to get.
Sure. So, any answers to that questions regarding architecture guide? Shall we update sections, the second part, which is changing content, or you thinking of dropping any of that items, or do you feel like fixed content needs to be updated? Do not need to be updated every year?
I think you've got two tags up there.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Ashok,
you're first. Ashok? So, first of all, I'm just going to tell you or inform you on, the production. So in my, the company, all four guides, highly appreciated. Primarily, they were all trained. We were all trained to use USCAP and to tag IFRS. That's so wonderful. Great, the work, so I appreciate that. Especially this formula, it is really, really good, the guide. And one of the, I actually circulated kind of the internal survey. More and more table, like a standard table, if we can, put that structure within the formula, will be good. Coming back to these particular questions, I think the way you have separated fixed content and changing, that's pretty good. So fixed content don't need to be, updating. For example, if the new income statement standard comes into force, three subtotal making total, that particular formula need to be changed. Mm-hmm. So in summary, I think the fixed content, you don't need to change unless there is some really dramatic changes within the concept or fundamentals. Rest of the thing, the annual update, it depends. So if you're making some really changes or informative guide or some sort of, the guidance, that's the only time I can think that need to be changed.
Yes, just leave your microphone. Leave it on.
You can unmute it.
Just leave it on. Yeah, thank you.
Bihan?
Yep. Very quick one. I think on the changes in the file structure, this is heavily technical, so I wouldn't pay too much attention to that, and there is software that does that kind of comparison relatively quickly, so I don't think there is an effort necessary from the team to provide it. Examples are particularly valuable, so I would keep them, and I think these are one of the most referred to, so to say, parts of the guide. Statistics, again, I don't think they are particularly necessary, and if they take time and effort from the IFRS team, I don't see much use of them apart from publications or some media, things like that. One other thing, if there are any new components, I recall that several times we have happened to a situation where users of the guide were looking for a bit of a guidance as to what is provided by the taxonomy and what is provided by the software. So in other words, they were mixing functionalities of and expecting something that software provides from the taxonomy itself, and just sort of like maybe a bit of a box on the side, like this is provided by the software, not really by the taxonomy, so don't expect to have it in the dictionary, in the taxonomy as such, rather seek different types of products which may provide these kind of functionalities.
Okay. Can you give an example of that?
So there were a lot of those things around versioning particularly. So software can provide versioning between the two different versions of taxonomies much better than any kind of publication, frankly speaking. there were things around tabling, about visualization in general, so whether, for instance, the presentation link base provides things or not, and we know of the restrictions of technical restrictions of these. So essentially, I think the users were looking, for instance, for the possibility to search across the taxonomy. Sometimes these were relatively basic things, and I think that just a kind of like a list. If you want a functionality that presents nicely the taxonomy, that's a function of the software, not really the taxonomy. So don't expect a extremely sort of like user-friendly, nice look and feel of the taxonomy. It is a structure, so expect that.
Thanks, Mike.
Michal, because you mentioned something like software can easily recognize now a file structure of a taxonomy and things like that. If that's the case, doesn't it still even make sense to give the architecture guide? Because you could say, look, the structure of the taxonomy would be clear through the software you use to access the information, and you would
I just referred to the first point, changes in the file structure. So this can be handled by the software, I think, very easily. But if you are asking about, for instance, how the files are named and how they will keep being maintained, so what is the style of naming the files and the way how the modularization works, that's something that the software will not be really able, as far as I know, as of yet, to handle or present much better than the guide.
And also the guide has two sections in the fixed content. The first section is more just financial reporting content. For instance, goes on, okay, what is dimensional modeling, what is line item modeling? But the second section of the guide is more about the really technical, the naming of the files and the structure of the file. Do you think the first section where you talk for more about financial reporting content, okay, what is it, access, what is line item modeling, does that make sense to provide that in this guide for people who are more like software technical experts, which I would expect these people to know that, yeah?
That's an interesting point. I haven't thought about it, but since you raised it, I think there was also a couple of questions in the past that we stumbled upon among the regulators trying to use the taxonomy, where they were seeking some very, very high-level preliminary introduction to the entire topic. So a guide to the guide, or just part of it, more for executives, more for project managers. So they were looking for this context, and they were discouraged by the word, technical guidance, so they would not look into that, despite the fact that there is a part of the content that would be relevant to them, but they would not look into this particular resource. They would rather seek, so maybe just taking it out physically and just separating and making it more like a manager's intro or project manager's intro to as to how you should handle these kind of things.
Thank you.
That might be a good point.
Any others? I think just before we continue, so particularly for the newcomers, if you get anything to just turn the cards up, and I think we're leaving the mics on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the mics on.
So, can I ask another? Another point. Sorry. I am not sure whether the architecture guide is useful for those who have done the exercise, iteration of the exercise many times, but for sure it was useful for us. And again, at the cost of reiterating the point I made earlier, we would recommend having a control section in any changes that you may that may apply for further publications, or for any changes you may want to incorporate. I also think that the statistics were very useful on the items used in the taxonomy, and potentially, if possible, we would recommend including comparative information from the previous releases, possibly the previous two releases, just as an idea of what could be of further help.
I'm sorry, can I actually follow up? Because that's an interesting point. I've never heard anybody saying that statistics are helpful. But can you maybe tell a little bit?
I think I would have to go back to the technical team doing actually this work and making use of this data, as you know. I'm not practically doing this work, but I can get back to you with more details on it.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. So, coming back to last section of guides, we have identified some overlap between those guides. and related to architecture and description of technologies used. So in some guides, like for example in regulator guide, you have brief description of element schemas, entry points, and link bases. And for example, obviously you have the same information in architecture guide where we explain a bit further about those categories. And for example, in most of the guides, we have brief description of formula, link base, and versioning reports. But these are just few lines. And obviously, formula guide covers description of business validations in full. So the questions are: so is the overlap helpful? In that section, I know Suzanne already answered this question, but is there any other answers to that question?
Any other thoughts on it?
I think you've got your...
I think we have summarized. We'll continue to second section. I'll skim through this section because we will summarize at the end of this section because we gathered feedback regarding those supporting materials. So we have five main supporting materials that we publish. And obviously, we would like your feedback on the usefulness of those materials. So we have ITIs, which are IFRS Taxonomy Illustrated, in PDF and HTML, and sorry to not include, but we also provide Excel spreadsheet with ITIs, so you can download those from our website. There's versioning information. There's XIFRS, so the XIFRS stands for XBRL in the context of our IFRS standards. So you can access this through our EIFRS service. We have tagging examples using IFRS taxonomy, so those examples that come from IFRS standards. And the last one is the IFRS taxonomy formula link base. So again, you can find those supporting materials in our IFRS taxonomy subpage within IFRS.org, and if you click on General Resources tab, you can find all of those supporting materials. So ITIs in PDF and HTML and Excel. So these are generally published for users who might not have access to the technology to upload our IFRS taxonomy. So it's a kind of view of our taxonomy within a flat structure, a tabular structure. And I just want to point out that the HTML version includes documentation and implementation labels and navigation through some of the elements within the documentation labels. So this ITIs apply to all of our users and are published on annual basis with any proposed updates to the IFRS taxonomy. That's how it looks on the right. That's the first page, and you can access it through, again, through our general resources. There is a subtag browsing IFRS taxonomy, and there is a hyperlink to that leads you to IFRS taxonomy illustrated in different types. Like you can choose financial statements, or you can access ITIs organized by IFRS standards, for example. So this is related to ITIs, but this is HTML, and I mentioned that there are some interlinking navigation between documents, and these are clickable. It's quite interactive. You can, for example, refer to different disclosures by just clicking, and it gets you to the right place within the ITIs. Versioning information is the most important thing for the versioning information. Versioning information is to show changes between two versions of the taxonomy. We usually provide those on annual basis, but also with the taxonomy update. And there are two items within versioning information. One is the human readable form, which is a HTML document that just shows you the whole taxonomy and indicates where the changes were made within the taxonomy between two versions, like, for example, 2019 taxonomy and 2018 taxonomy. And there is a machine-readable form in XML according to XBRL specification that machine can pick up and try to do something with the versioning in the background. That's how a human-readable version looks like. And you can see additions in green, underscores with for new, for example, references or new elements that were added to the taxonomy. The XIFRS, this document shows the IFRS taxonomy elements embedded, as I said before, in electronic version of the IFRS standards, and helps preparers to choose appropriate elements based on the requirements in the IFRS standards. And this document is published annually, and with any proposed updates, which is based on new or amended IFRS standards. And here's an example. So here's one of the paragraphs within the IFRS standards. We've included disclosures taken from the taxonomy in red boxes, and a reference to those disclosures within the taxonomy, and you have numbers for ELRs within the taxonomy. So we do have tagging examples, and the main objective here is to show the illustrative examples for the IFRS standards, how it could be tagged using elements from the IFRS taxonomy, and we want to illustrate the best practice using IFRS taxonomy in XBRL and inline XBRL format. And here is an example. So this is inline XBRL document, and there is a number highlighted, and on the right you have properties of this highlighted disclosure. And the IFRS taxonomy formula link base, the main objective is to help users to improve the data quality of XBRL filings, and to give this extra layer of detecting and warning about the possible errors using automated validations. And here are examples of those formulas embedded within the formula link base, the IFRS taxonomy formula link base. And they cover different aspects that are not covered within the IFRS taxonomy. So we have positive facts, validations, negative facts, axis aggregation, equivalence validations, EPS, earning measure, cross-period validations, technical validations, and percentage warning. Here is a quite comprehensive example of the formula link base, but you can read it how the validation works and what are the pass or fail conditions for cross-period validations. So coming to questions, which supporting materials do you find most useful? Why? How often do you use those materials? Are there any supporting materials that you are not using, and why you're not using them? Are you aware of any stakeholders' views on the questions above? If any, what are they? And question 5 and 6, how can we improve the support we provide? And do you have any other comments or suggestions on the supporting materials? And before we open the table for discussion, we had additional slide. I'll ask Iza to summarize the feedback we received from the ITCG members. I'll just go to the slide.
Okay, so if you look at the slides, I'm going to highlight just a few things. First of all, thank you very much for everyone who replied to our survey. If you have anything to add, that's a very brief summary, but if you have anything to add, please do so. As you know, as you've seen, we've got a lot of supporting materials, and we are wondering, maybe there is some overlap. Do we need to produce all of them? Maybe there is something we can do in addition that maybe we don't do currently to make it more helpful for you and for the others to support the implementation of the IFRS taxonomy. So those are the results. I would say obviously those are averages. So as with any averages, there were people who were saying that it's not that useful, and some of the people were saying it's more useful than the average shows. But if you can see, the tagging example seems to be the most useful, and the reason for that is many people are saying it could be used as an education. So if people don't know how the financial statement look like how Inlinexbiera looks like, the tagging examples could do that. Also, what people find very useful is the data quality. So it increased consistency of tagging. If people see how we thought the tagging is modeled and how people should be using the tagging. However, there was a suggestion that maybe more comprehensive examples would be more useful than those that we already have. IFRS taxonomy illustrated in PDF seems to be quite useful too, and I guess this is mainly because if people don't have software, that is just a very easy way of looking how the IFRS taxonomy works. Again, for people who are not specialized users or those that like the printing materials, even though we know that we don't like printing so much. The HTML wasn't that useful. Again, it's serving very similar purpose, and people don't find the navigation being very useful, which is supposed to be the additional feature that PDF doesn't have. Versioning information was also found quite useful. However, we currently have the PDF information, and there were some suggestions that maybe we should make it easier for people to search, so maybe some other format should be explored. IFRS formula link base, I think overall people thought it is useful, but not necessarily for members of this group. They were saying that it is very useful for software developers, and once it is in the software, then it's a very useful tool, but not necessarily for everyone in this group. And XIFRS, it wasn't used. Some people more highlighted the benefits, potential benefits of people that might be using. So people, members of this group do not seem to be using it much. So the question maybe here is, what do you think we can do to make it more useful? If you see the potential benefit of this document, can we make it more useful so people are actually using it? Or if not, maybe we should drop it out. And the last question mentioned by Władek, we don't have the Excel file here, but again, a lot of people find Excel as a format quite useful. And IFRS taxonomy in Excel format is something that I've heard is quite sought after. But some people are saying that maybe we should add some more features because right now we have it quite plain. And if we have an Excel, there is a question, do we have all the other ways of showing the IFRS taxonomy too? So I would like to ask you which materials we should continue doing, how we should modify them if we should be continuing showing them, and maybe we can drop something out. Do we need all of them really? We, in the business of doing it quite frequently, making sure that they are consistently provided. But if people are not using them, maybe we should stop producing them. So very curious to your additional thoughts, and especially those that didn't reply to our research. Do you have any additional points of views?
Just before you go, I think, Chi, you had a comment?
I would like to apologize that I also sent back to the survey, but I couldn't understand the meaning of the rating, so that please forget about my ratings.
Okay.
But I answered only about the taxonomy illustrated PDFs, because I think user side is always using this one. It's absolutely, it's necessary. So that without this taxonomy illustrated, we can't make it what kind of element the IFRS taxonomy has, because usually we don't use special software of the XBRL. Mm-hmm. And as other people answered, I always believe that I answered the Excel file. I was thinking, well, sometimes I need to copy and paste from this PDF file. It's very tough, so that I really want to do the if I use IFRS taxonomy, I think that other people always maybe answered you, but the Excel file is also very much necessary.
But do we need both, PDF and Excel file?
I think actually, in my the experience from using ADNet taxonomy, I'm using only Excel file.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Marsha?
I think from a individuals will sort of have their sort of favourites. I know that in terms of we provide sort of review reports to sort of communicate tagging. And there's some people who are married to one particular version to another, and then we keep three going, even though we think it would be good to do one. But it would be good to understand the overhead in terms of the time you're spending on managing all these documents. I mean, I don't know if you're managing sort of three separate documents in three formats, or whether it's quite easy for you to produce a PDF, Excel, HTML automatically, or are you doing it quite manually?
Well, every additional work needs some additional time, so we can use it differently. I think the question is there any additional incremental benefit in having all of the formats? If you're using Excel, because potentially it gives you more searching ability, do you still need PDF? You can also print Excel. So I'm interested, like, what additional benefit give you two or three different ways of viewing it?
Yeah, I think I've been more drawn to the sort of PDF one, but other users will have their favourites. And
right.
It's more if you withdraw sort of two formats, you'll have more noise and people sort of squealing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hmm. I'd echo what you say, Marshall, and also echo the point about production, because if it's not automated, then please spend time automating to lower your overall costs associated with their production, because it is the kind of stuff that mostly can be automated.
That's John. John.
Yeah. I agree, John. I would say even if you automate the process, there's always a quality control process at the end, really. So you always have to make sure that whatever automated process you have done, you need to check that the content reflects the result. And we spend, I think our processes are relatively automated. I think it's more the quality control at the end that we really have to make sure that the content is truly reflected in the guides, because you never know with software, something can go wrong, so you always have to check it.
We wanted to.
Yeah, I too thought of cost benefit. You know, we don't know what the effort is that the team puts out, so consider that in anything. I agree with the graph to some extent. The tagging examples don't delete those; keep those moving forward, with one exception, and that's you tag the IFRS Foundation's financial statements annually. I don't think that's necessarily. I don't know that anybody's using it, looking at it, saying, "Oh, my financials are like that. I better take a look." So that might be a place to save some effort. The XIFRS is low on this scale, although it's still useful. It's got a 5.7. If I was a board member, I would want to keep this, because I know a few years back there was the question, is the IFRS taxonomy moving differently than the standards? And I think if you look at the XIFRS, you can see clearly the tags match the standard. So that's always given me comfort regarding that. That's it.
Thank you. Thanks. Lewis, you wanted to
Yeah, a couple things. So I can't imagine why anybody would want to look at a taxonomy in a PDF, but everybody has their different choices. I just want to second that the Excel version is, you know, frankly, when we first started working on our taxonomy, we resisted that. It's like, why do you want to use a spreadsheet to look at? You get this beautiful tool that you can. We have people, members of our own team, that prefer to use the spreadsheet, and I understand why, because it's, you know, it's very easy to filter and find what you want, and it doesn't take much effort at all to generate it using, you know, off-the-shelf taxonomy generating tools. So I would say you have to keep what your constituency wants. I want to second, first maybe add a different reason or an additional reason. What I want to second what Lou was saying about the XIFRS. You know, from our perspective, as you know, we've been spending a lot of time to make sure that our references from the COD to the taxonomy properly reflect what the reporting requirements are and what the disclosure requirements are. And the long-term goal here is to help our preparers, our constituency, find the appropriate elements for their tagging from the codification or from the IFRS, as opposed to the other way around. We shouldn't be asking our preparers to look at the taxonomy to find what they need. They need to be going from the reporting requirements. Now, this might just be me, but I couldn't find what was in the slides on the website to be able to go from, you know, if I told you to go look in our COD to find the elements, it's not so easy either. We have some similar issues there. So I think we both have to do something. But I think that might be a bigger part of the issue, is it's difficult to find what you need in your literature. And we have similar experience.
And when you said you can't find it, you couldn't find the EIFRS on the website or the...
I thought I found it. Okay. I mean, you know, I admit I don't spend a lot of time in the IFRS literature, but I couldn't find what I thought I needed to find the references and the listing of the elements that would take me back to the taxonomy.
Okay.
Maybe somebody should spend a minute with me and...
I will talk to you about that.
And it'll be like, oh, there it is, you know. But it wasn't obvious, right?
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks. So we're now either eating into the break we have or Karen's time. And I don't think Karen's going to give up any time. So unless there's something unless there's something that is not an overlap of what we've already covered in here. Go ahead quickly.
We really like the XIFRS, but it's behind a paywall. And I think that might limit the people getting at it and using it, but we really like it. We'd give it a 1 if it wasn't, or a 10 if it wasn't behind a paywall.
Okay, anything else that's quick like that?
Very quick, just PDF for people who have never heard of it, of XBRL and who are first-time preparers, still remains useful. It's easier to email, it's easier to share with colleagues within finance department. So, and I think it takes very limited effort to convert an Excel file into a PDF. So at least for the time being for European preparers, that remains useful, I think.
Okay, we're good.
Very quickly, 45 seconds. So first of all, I think, you know, I really appreciate, and probably everybody appreciate, the hard work you have put in producing this, you know, the guides. And I would say more is good. And so this discussion about rationalization, probably in 2022, I think that will be more useful. So right now, more is good. The second thing I would say, the versioning. This is one of the best things I think you folks did. Unlike another taxonomy, this particular taxonomy, the versioning, the new thing comes with the green. That's wonderful. And, you know, the striking the old deprecation. Like other taxonomy, I have to go into special section of, you know, the deprecation of tag. So this is straight away on the screen what is new. So that's pretty good. Very important validation. The 8 criteria you just highlighted, I would probably suggest add more. Why? Last few months, I'm really attending quite a lot of, you know, the conferences, and I'm really shocked to hear the regulators, especially in EU, do not have any mechanism whatsoever about validation. So these 8 validations criteria you have actually presented, I think it will be like a starting point for those regulators. Otherwise, you know, these rules coming from ISBA, and if people prepare with a lot of cost, the file to file, but has no validation, that means what's the point of it? And so this is very good, and I would suggest if you can come up with this, definitely 8 is very good, those validation. But if you can increase, that will be fantastic. And finally, examples. Really, that is very good. Now, why it would be good? Because if you think about it, IFR is a principle-based accounting thing. And so when you actually give example, then it becomes like a, not like a judgment issue. People that say, that table, I should be using this particular tag, and obviously, you know, the total or subtotal. So if you can actually provide more example, that will be good. So thank you, appreciate it, good work.
Thank you, Chair. I know you've got one more section to get through. But Adrian, did you have anything you wanted to say?
It was just very quick. The Excel would be very useful to us. Sorry, I didn't even know you could pull that. We've been using the PDF kind of just because that's the only one we could find. It was great for, we don't have software, right? We're a data provider, so we're not looking to produce financial reports. We're just looking to actually consume data that comes out of there. So PDF useful, Excel would be even better. A lot of our clients for our own taxonomy always request us to have an Excel because it's easy for them to see, scroll through. So Excel would be our preference going forward if we knew where to get it.
Thanks for the input.
John, could I suggest that we have some final questions on the feedback documents, but since we're running over time, what I think we might do is park those questions, and perhaps we could do those at
email. He was going to just wrap up.
This third section, feedback documents, if you have any question regarding this section, please email us, and we'll be happy to receive any feedback regarding the third section. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go through the this section, but answers are welcomed.
And also we can come back to during our July call, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks. And a bit behind it.
All right, so I just want to say you've got the division between the breakout session on the on your tables, so this is going to be your guide.
We're cutting into the break.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, we used the break to switch as well.
So. Yes. All right. And glad it killed the last army. That's great.